Well, folks, if you've got your Bibles open, please turn to the very first Psalm. The Psalms in themselves, the 150 Psalms, when I was in Union College, they taught us that if you want to get a snapshot of the meta-narrative or the big story of Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, you get it in a snapshot in the book of Psalms. You know, the Psalms are an incredible source of comfort and challenge for us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's not forget that they were written maybe 500-600 years before Christ even came upon the earth. And when you get into the Psalms and when you get into the Scriptures, you begin to realize that the Bible often uses pictures to teach us. I don't know about you, but I'm a bit of a visual person. You know, I studied engineering at college years ago, agricultural engineering, and I loved drawings. I loved the fact that we went into a design workshop, we designed things, we worked out things using our mathematics, we described it using our English, then we went into a workshop and we came out with something tangible, 3D. And it just wasn't 2D, it was 3D, and it meant an awful lot to me. I don't know whether you're that kind of person, you're a picture kind of person. If you're a picture kind of person, then you get pictures within the Bible. And God speaks to us through these kind of pictures. From cover to cover, from the very beginning, we get a picture of this incredible world that we've been placed into. Teeming with biodiversity, no disease, no sin, no death, a garden full of life as God had ordained it to be, thriving with every kind of vegetation and living thing, both great and small, a paradise called Eden. With trees planted at its very heart. And one request from the maker of it all. One request. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. And from cover to cover, from beginning to end, God's in control. From within the Bible's final pages, there is a river, the river of the water of life. Bright as crystal, we're told, flowing from the throne of God Almighty and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the great street of the city, and on either side of the river, there's another tree. The tree of life. It stands there with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each and every month without fail, whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. No longer, we're told, will there be any curse of sin. You see, Scripture so often uses pictures to teach us, and familiar pictures. This psalm is no different. Within its six short verses, we have two pictures, that of a tree planted against the stark, grey, lifeless image of chaff. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in a season, and whose leaf does not wither. Verses 3 and 4 paint a vivid picture for us of the difference between the righteous and the ungodly, between the believer and the unbeliever, between the sanctified and the unsanctified. It is a profound difference, and not merely a superficial one. The difference between a beautiful, majestic, and fruitful tree against that of an unsightly heap of useless chaff. He, the blessed man, shall be like a tree planted by streams of living water. The ungodly are but like the chaff, we're told in verse 4. Blown away with the wind. To be no more. I thought it was really relevant as William read, and he read that verse, that somebody over here, a child or somebody, went, I could hear it in the front pew. And yet the tree has life, has grown, it has growth and beauty and purpose. It can give shelter and sustenance. It is a source of blessing to others. And yet a heap of chaff is but rubbish. It is neither form nor beauty. It has no roots, no life, no possibility of growth. It can produce nothing. Nothing. It has no value. It is fit only for the fire. And so, if you've got your Bibles open, please notice along with me the features of this holy, divine tree. The first thing is, it is planted. It is planted. The tree did not grow by itself. It is planted. It was put there by another. It was planted. You know, I am not a Christian by nature or upbringing or self-effort. The hymn writer of Rock of Ages was right when they, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote this: not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. We became Christians through the work of God. By grace each one of us is saved, we're told, for it is the gift of God. By grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Each one of us is saved, for it is the gift, the free gift of God. So firstly, we notice that the tree is planted. The second thing is that it is a new planting. It's not merely an improvement of something that has already been there. A Christian, a believer, is a new creation. The Apostle Paul teaches us this in his second letter to the church in Corinth, verse 17, chapter 5, verse 17. He writes this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new is here. The Christian, the believer, the follower of Christ is living a new life, not just turning over a new leaf. And so preparation is necessary in planting a new tree. There has to be a digging. There has to be a breaking up of the soil within our hearts. So there is preparation in the heart of the human being by the Spirit of God. And it might come through hardship or upset or conviction or unhappiness. which leads to repentance and faith in Christ and Christ alone. And so we notice from this psalm that the tree is planted, it is a new planting, and lastly, the third feature of this divine tree is that it is planted by streams of water. Who watches location, location, location here? I've watched a brave bit, you know. Location's everything. Location is everything, and it's vital for us as believers if we want to reflect this beautiful, fruitful tree. The tree is not planted in a desert nor on a mountaintop, but in a fertile place where its roots can grow deep down in order to supply all the nourishment it needs. It's the reason why you come to Ballywillan, folks, to be fed. But first of all, the Christian is planted into Christ, the perfect environment for us to grow and to develop and to thrive, for he is the true source of life. The Christian was born in Adam, we sang about it earlier on, but reborn into Christ is what Nicodemus struggled with when he met Jesus at night. And so each one of us is born in Adam, but reborn in Christ, the fountain and the source of all wisdom and knowledge, the water and the bread of life. What was Jesus said? What was it that Jesus said long ago? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And so the results of this planting, the tree bears fruit in its season. The tree fulfills the purpose for which it was created by God in the first place. And we can only do this when we are born of the Spirit again, reborn in Christ. And the image of God is restored within each and every one of us. See, if we feed regularly on the Word of God and bring our lives daily under its scrutiny and authority, there will be regular growth, and the Spirit will produce in us what we know as the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the outcome of this tree planted in verse 3 is that its leaf will not wither. It'll not wither. You see, the person to whom this tree refers will be like an evergreen that I see when I walk up into Ballycastle Forest, able to cope with the tests and the trials of life. Do you ever notice those trees too stand close together with other people in the forest? It's really important that you share fellowship together in meetings like this, in prayer meetings, in Bible studies. And then, and only then, will they be able to cope with the tests and the trials of life. The blessedness of Psalm 1 speaks, of which Psalm 1 speaks, prepares us for whatever life chucks at us. Adversity, misfortune, illness, pain, loss, bereavement. Old age, even death itself in Christ. We will not be afraid of evil words thrown in our direction. We will bear fruit even in old age. the scriptures tell us in Psalm 112. In heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear, and safe as such confiding, for nothing changes there. The storms may roar without me, my heart may low be laid, but God is round about me, and can I be dismayed? Green pastures are before me, which yet I have not seen. Bright skies will soon be o'er me, where darkest clouds have been. My hope I cannot measure. My path to life is free. My Saviour is my treasure, and He will walk with me. Folks, the glory and the good news of this psalm is that the chaff may be transformed into a tree. I had something laid in my heart just last night here. And it's a challenge. Does your life reflect the chaff or the tree? If you want to talk about that, come out to the prayer ministry after this morning's service. It's only a matter of recognizing who Christ is, the true vine, and be grafted into Him this day. Let's take a moment to pray. Father God, we thank You for the depth of the challenge from Your Word, from this picture language, Lord God, that You use to connect with us. And so, Father God, we thank You and praise You that Your words are the words of eternal life. Thank You, Lord God, that You desire each and every one of us to be a blessing to all those around us, to be in Christ, Your Son, first and foremost, and for us to mature and to blossom into great oaks for Your kingdom. And so, Holy Spirit, move in our hearts and draw us closer to Christ, we pray. And it's in His precious name we pray. Amen.